Hello, everybody. My name is Vanessa Cole. This is a real, authentic, and free conversation, I would say, amongst all the community. We're here to talk about different topics related to Christ and the community. So I'd like to welcome everybody here. You can all introduce yourselves.
I'm Bolaji.
Hi.
I'm Ken.
Hi.
My name is Tubi.
I think it's important to have these conversations because one thing we've always said in church is that Christ is our lifestyle. And sometimes that means taking things outside of the sermon to just discuss real topics happening in real life. We're young adults here navigating ourselves through this thing called life.
So what are we talking about today?
Okay, so this month we're going to be talking about mental health awareness. The month of May is all about bringing awareness and insight into mental health.
Can we clap to that? Can we clap to that?
Fantastic.
I'll say all of us being in Nigeria, we can all relate to some sort of stigma that mental health has, right? And I think personally, if I can speak, I need to see more from the church and us being honest about this topic and how we can be more encouraging to people who go through things every day. And mental health has so many different levels. I mean, there's entry, you know, there's day-to-day anxiety, there's depression, there's just having stress, even mental stress with work, life, families. And then it goes up all the way to really serious cases that a lot of people try and hide from. I mean, up and down.
Yeah.
We know typically Nigerian families like to hide going through hard times.
No,
we like to be strong. We like to be, okay, let's showcase the good things. I mean, it happens everywhere. Social media as well. You want to showcase the good in life.
Yeah.
But let's be real here. Everyone goes through something. So how can we be better? How can we and be more encouraging? How can we say that our door is open and come to us with your problems and let's come together, talk, let's pray, you know?
If I could just jump in, that was a perfect intro. I'm happy to be on the first edition. I think the most important thing is everyone to acknowledge that mental health is not a new thing. You know, we've been talking about this. So maybe it's not vocal in today's world, but it's been going on. I remember a point you had said is, has mental health been seen in the Bible? Mental health has been seen in the Bible with the biggest and most inspiring person from the Bible, Jesus. I remember, was it Mark 14? Mark 14 or so, during when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I feel this was when he was about to be betrayed. Jesus called out in the Bible saying something like, God, I'm so sorrowful.
Yeah.
I'm stressed.
Yeah.
What can I do? Just take me now. Then you now thought again, actually, let your will be done. So I think if Jesus has been through mental health, I don't want to go and start saying Jesus had mental health.
Before they quote you and say, Tobi Rappu has said.
I get the picture of mental frailty.
The kind of stress at that time.
And that's mental health.
It's not a new age thing. And you know,
I think the other people like Job was going through it. I think Job had said something like, let the grave just swallow me. That was a quote in the Bible. Let the grave take me now. Job had said that. Gideon, that's why I also changed my name to Gideon. Gideon too had been through mental struggles. For God to come and say, Gideon, you man of valor, get up. He was like, I can't do anything, God. So Gideon, Job, Jesus, even Elijah.
Elijah, I wanted to say that. Yeah.
The thing is that when I think about mental health struggles, like when I look back in hindsight in my life, it's always, I'll use today, coming here as an example, before I left my house, I just prayed that, I'm having this podcast, let it go well and everything. And as I was getting ready to leave my house to come here, something just made me angry. And there were just different thoughts coming in my head. My entire drive, right, from Lekki to Ikoyi, I was pissed. I was just angry, right? And I was just like, I'm about to go and record a podcast episode, and this is my spirit. This is my mood at the moment. I'm not joking. I was just so irritated. Like,
what made you angry, if I may ask?
Someone called me asking me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. Yes, that's very cool. But I just felt like it wasn't about that. It was about the fact that I was coming here, and any small thing to derail my
thoughts
and that focus, right? It was like a mental health struggle in that sense. As soon as I stepped in here, I was fine. And I started speaking to everybody. I was like, cool and everything. I even forgot about everything that happened. But just trying to give a practical understanding to how these things, like you may have like a certain mission and your plan is, walk from here to here. And that's when you realize that it's your mindset and your mental struggles that are stopping you from literally just walking 10 meters or 100 meters, something that you can do every day. Is when you know that, you have to literally do that, that, you know, you realize that you have these issues and it's important to recognize it.
Can I ask a question as well? What do we define as mental health? I feel like that's something that's also important to kind of bring up.
True.
Just from Googling and whatnot, I would say mental health includes emotional, psychological, and social well-being. So if any of those things are deprived,
it's a balance, right?
It's a balance.
And naturally, there's going to be things that are going to come in and try and infiltrate that balance. Mm-hmm. And it's even biblical when you say that there's a constant battle against the mind, against the flesh, right? Because we're in a place where our spirits are not going to be naturally at peace here. Yeah. It's not going to be comfortable here because this is not where we're supposed
habitat,
to be. Exactly. And you have the enemy, you have what the life, you have the world, earthly things coming in constant battle with your mental being, your spiritual being, and that's going to affect the literal chemistry of your mind, from how someone comes and interacts with you that day, to a job opportunity that maybe didn't come through, to maybe even a physical illness that has happened can end up affecting your mental health too. So these are all things that affect the balance, and it is a balance that most times it's hard to maintain. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Can we be candid as well? Has anyone been through mental health issues?
You know, the situation with Christians, let me say, unexpected, unrealistic expectations. Sometimes you are with God, you are praying, you want this thing to happen now, happen at this time, say by this time I should be here, I'm doing all the right things, but it's not coming. It kind of creates a kind of pressure on your system that you see somebody say, what's happening to their brother, I beg, I don't know, this thing, self, be as they do, be as they get. It's because there are some expectations we have in our head that maybe we are hoping that God will solve for us. We've prayed about it, maybe a job, marriage, money, something, and it's not coming at when you want it. It creates a kind of pressure in your system, and that can really distort your life.
So if, again, I just wanted to reiterate, so have you had an experience like that, and what did it feel like?
Yes, when I came into Lagos, I'm not used to being idle. Like stay in one place doing nothing. So I was really anxious. I had to get a job. I need to get something. So I was applying. Maybe if you check, even till now, I'm still receiving updates from LinkedIn. Different, but it wasn't. You go for this interview. I went for an interview and I said I used to consult for. I mentioned the word consult. So, they marked me out. You know, the kind of pressure you get when you have expectations you are not meeting.
And how did that affect your mental, your physiological, and your social well-being?
Okay. So mentally, I felt I was failing because I'm a father. I had two kids. I have a wife to take care of. So when your sons come to you and like, daddy, school fees, and you're wondering, this God self, is it really real? And, you know, and sometimes I just lock myself in the room. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody because thinking, I'm calculating house rent is coming. There's a bill to pay. You know, there was a day, it was at night, we didn't have food. 11 p.m., there was no food in the house. I had to call my landlord, who gave me 10,000 naira that we ate.
For your landlord, the man that went to collect money.
I had to call him and say, sir, well, though we're closed, though. I said, man, I see there now, so you get as it be. I can't just be quiet. Just help me with. So he gave me 10,000, then I bought some things. The kids had already gone to bed without eating food that night. So I had to get something. I think it was Coke, bread, give to my wife. I had some. Then we kept something for the kids the next morning. So you could tell the kind of pressure. So imagine you come to me that time with one thing.
Yeah.
Bad guy.
I think in those instances, almost like there's no way. You would think there's no way to deal with it.
Yeah.
But was there a way that you dealt with that? How did you get over it?
Surely, I was upset that night. Why was I upset? Because the kids had gone to bed, no food. Mm. I was upset with my wife. Quote unquote. Because in my mind, I was thinking, how are we going to sleep this night with these kids not having to eat, you know? And then my wife said, babe, I'm going to bed. I was angry. I was like, you really want to sleep? So, okay, so now, I mean, everything is on me now. I had to pick up my phone. I was thinking, oh, like, oh, like, oh, like, oh, I have to get this money this night. There's no way My man who was being threatened.
That's when you called the landlord.
I called my landlord.
Almost like your wife exhibited that Jesus quality. So I call it Jesus quality because remember when Jesus was on in the river with the disciples and there was almost a crazy storm going. Jesus was just fast asleep. Then the disciples were pushing him. Wake up. So you're almost angry at your wife in that same way. But Jesus just said to them,
I was just transferring the aggression. That's the word.
But there's one thing you said that really just resonated with me when you said that your manhood became a threatening thing. And it's really nice to see this topic being held with three men here because there's definitely a lot of understanding that we need to go through when it comes to men's mental health too. Because a lot of the times with a lot of conditioning that's happened with the man having to be the provider or having to stay strong and get the family through. Like, I want you to explain how it was at that moment, you know, having that weight all on your shoulders. How did it feel to you? And how did it feel? Did you feel you had an avenue to express yourself fully in that moment?
At that time, I remember that night, I had so many questions in my mind. My kids had gone, they were sleeping. I knew when they wake up, they're going to be very hungry. Trust children, they're going to wake up by 12 midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning. Daddy, I'm hungry. And the challenge for me wasn't if they wake up and there's something for them to eat, I'll be fine. But when they wake up, there was nothing to eat. That feeling. It's like you feel like you. I uprooted their life from another city to a new city.
Where were you moving from?
From Enugu State to Lagos. So it, I mean, I couldn't just explain. I don't want to be emotional, but that night was really, imagine I had to call my landlord.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I said, if these two boys wakes up this night and there was nothing to give to them to eat, forget about me, I'm hungry. But I felt I was being like, my identity as a man was being destroyed. Bible says the one who cannot provide for his household is worse than an infidel. My wife is, my wife always very cool, quiet, like, no problem. But my wife said, how can you be just this chill? Look, see.
But what was that breakthrough moment for you?
Okay. I remember I told myself, there has to be a way. There has to be a way. So I was just scrolling through my phone. I saw my landlord's number. He's a Christian, like myself. He's a pastor, too. I called him. I said, good evening, sir. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm so sorry, Ken. I'm sorry. Can I send you something? Well, I felt that was God giving me a way out.
I was going to tell you.
To solve that problem that night. Yeah. I got 10,000. Funniest thing, guy, immediately I got that 10,000. No, my wife told me. Say, honey, as you're going downstairs, I better help me buy this thing for myself.
What did she want you to buy?
She want me to buy something for her to also enjoy as well. You cheat as if it didn't concern you, but see now. Money don't come now. Now it's actually get you something.
Plans don't change. I think you brought up something that was so impactful for me as well. I think mental health and being a man, it's almost like there's a continuous internal battle. There's something that the world expects of you as a man. There's a certain way that men should operate. There's a certain kind of lifestyle that men should hold. There's a certain kind of responsibility that a man in the world. So it's almost like we, understandably, like you as a father, we build up these expectations, or the world builds up these expectations of a man, and it's so easy for us to be torn down. So as soon as that small mental health arrow, mental issue arrow comes at you, and it's when you are your hardest, most stressed, when your cup is full, you're bursting over, that's when we collapse. Like, I've had that experience myself, that I've taken on the pressures of the world. I've tried to be who the world expects you to be. I've tried to be who the church expects you to be. I've tried to be who my dad expects you to be. I've tried to be so many things. It was just that one extra thing that I tried to be that made me snap. So my own mental health journey, if I could go into it. I remember my first issue of anxiety, because I have a little bit of anxiety in me, so I get very anxious in certain moments, and I used to be a very active person. You'd see me everywhere. I do anything. I was almost to be, can't do it. Church wants something done, I'll do it. Work wants something done, I'll do extra time. That's how it was. But I reached a stage where I was pushing it. I think because of who my dad is, and I almost wanted to be out of that shadow. I almost wanted to be my own kind of person. And because of the responsibilities I have, business, friends, relationships, I want to be something that I'm not. But it reached a stage where I had burnout. And I look at my friends, when I'm burnt and I can't do it, I look at my friends who are building skyscrapers, who are working in public sector, who are killing it in the private sector. And you're almost in your slump, that mindset. You almost forget all you've done, all the accolades you've received.
Yeah.
And you're just in that slump. I was in there for months. Ah, killed me. It took a lot for me to get it out. So from a different perspective, I can understand where you're coming from. Our lives aren't the same, of course. But I almost feel that pressure.
Yeah.
So what was that point of understanding, and how were you able to get yourself through? And what are, you know, tell us a bit of how you got yourself through that.
So my mental health was at the lowest from 2022. I think I'd taken on so much. My dad, my mom, my family, everybody had, we've been moving houses left, right, and center. I think my dad had just taken a step back from church as well and wanted a sabbatical. So I was almost taking on everything that had to do with family, business, family stuff. So any contract, I'm reading it. So imagine reading 5, 6, 7 pages. It may not seem like any whole responsibility, but you're reading that constantly, you're seeing figures, you're seeing numbers, you're talking to staff, things. And so that was an added responsibility. School, I was doing my master's. And it was, imagine being the smartest person one day, but then you go into a class filled with people from China, people from Russia, people who are talking in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, I like to be a critical person, but for somebody to bounce back and answer me and give me a fact, I'm like, oh.
Wow.
It feels so stupid. I'm not used to that. And then just other things as well, future leaders, we had programs, etc. I hadn't seen friends, and I hadn't seen family because I was abroad. And you soon start to find that things are just piling on and you don't know what it is. You're feeling less and less and less of yourself. You're not as confident. Before I could go up to anyone and talk, but I withdraw from people. I think I'm almost disturbing people. Or I feel so overwhelmed that I can't look at something for more than 10 seconds. It came to a point where I was driving, I was going somewhere, and I just felt the most overwhelmed. 2022, I cried the most I ever cried in my entire life. I could feel with that shit.
Wow.
And I was just driving. I don't know if it was a song or something that triggered it, but it spoke. But I just started wailing. I had to park, called my dad. That's the first person I talked about anything. I said, Dad, I don't know what's going on. Like, I can't stop crying. I was panicking. And I had to go somewhere for another. I was trying to help somebody with something. So I just sucked it up, went there. And when I came back, and my dad spoke to me, and that was the day that I broke down. Like, my dad was like, son, I've never seen you this way.
Yeah.
Because for me to cry 5, 6 times within 20 minutes, I'm telling you what's good. It was just that outpouring.
I just overflow.
You had to release yourself.
Yeah. This was probably like with COVID as well. We also forget so many people have been through trauma and COVID. Yeah. Imagine being locked up. So from COVID, it almost felt like it was 3 years worth of tears, pain, sorrow.
And you just held it in for too long.
And then that day.
And can I just say that communication, for me, I feel like anytime, I feel like I've come to understand myself a lot. I've sort of grown deeper in understanding. I feel like this happened when I was isolated in Abuja. I moved to Abuja for work.
Okay.
And I was quite isolated there. And when I'm there, I'm always deep and alone in my thoughts. So I've grown a lot as an individual, developed a lot of mental capacity. So something I do, right, anytime I'm feeling funny or I'm confused, I always just pick up the phone and call my mom, my friend, my dad. And one thing they always do is remind me of my journey. And they remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing and where I am. And it's important to understand, like, you always have to look at the bigger picture when there's, like, mental health challenges and, like, when you're going through these individual narrow moments. Because the world is very big and, like, God's plan for your life is very long term. You have to always look at, okay, what are you doing in this part? And there's always a reason for the way you're feeling. There's always a reason why you're going through a particular emotion or why a particular encounter has happened too.
Could I ask you about something else? Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned something that's very important to me, especially when you discuss mental health. I think it's the fact that you can pick up and call that family, friends. There's a couple, I think my dad and I call it, is it the three P's? So purpose is what you mentioned, that everybody needs a purpose. So purpose, pastimes, and activity as well. Mm-hmm. And then people.
Yeah, people so is important.
People for me is foundation. I think the Bible even talks about how the family is almost the foundation of God. I can't remember what verse, Genesis something or something. But the family unit, when you're going through things, needs to be able to call somebody.
Yeah. And talk to someone.
Something I want to add to that though, because sometimes it can be a little bit more complex than a standalone situation. Yeah. I think when you have standalone situations, definitely the people around you, having someone to call or communicate with is very important. My own journey when it comes to mental health had been a lot more of a majority of my life situation. And I can't really pinpoint a time when I was like, okay, I was going through this, but it was really more the conditioning of my mind growing up. So quite a few people here would know that I went through a few disadvantageous moments growing up as a, you know, when I was a child, I went through some child sexual abuse. I was molested, you know, quite a multiple times. And sometimes when something happens to you, you have a bit of an identity crisis when something's stripped away and taken from you. And sometimes people, not necessarily that people are the problem, but sometimes when you're in this life, there's a lot of conditioning that happens when you're growing up. So naturally, you get a child, you're trying to tell your child good things of how to be, or this is how to be a good person, this is what's good, this is what's not good, don't do this, stay away from this, you know. So there's a lot of conditioning that happens when you're around people. It happens with your friends as well when you're teenagers. You're also conditioned with everybody around you. And I think a lot of the times, a lot of things that people go through is because of a lack of understanding of who they are and, you know, knowing who you are, because a lot of the times you have been told what to be or what is good, what isn't good. So why I'm giving that example, because something had happened to me, right, that I wasn't understanding of, when I was later taught that something like this is bad, I then put a lot of shame on myself. Because, okay, I've been taught that doing this is bad, but okay, I didn't do it. It wasn't my fault, but it's happened to me. How do I move forward from that? I give myself a lot of shame. I'm not happy with myself. I don't know who I am, because before I was even
like you have a new identity. Exactly. Who's your identity?
Who am I? So I grew up for the longest time being, okay, I'll just take whatever that person wants me to be. I wore many faces. I had many masks. And many people will see me as a charismatic, joyful person because I could put on that mask. Yeah. But spiritually, I didn't know who I was, what made me
Can I add to that? Being a pastor's son as well. That's why I'm so very combatant to people. Because it's almost like, and I feel like I tried as best as I can to stay within the good part.
Yes.
Because you have a lot of pastor's kids. So,
and it happens with everything. Because like you said, pastor's son, or you may have a parent that's a very successful CEO.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have that pressure of expectations of people telling you. And meanwhile, they're trying to be encouraging, but it can end up completely pushing a certain identity on you before you've even created an identity for yourself. So there's different things that happen as you're going through life that can affect you. And sometimes that long-term, you know, every day dealing with certain interactions, those little things that can just be little points, little comments that people are making that build up to a point that you have an identity crisis in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and you don't know, suddenly not happy. You may have a Fortune 500 company and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to sell the company. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm not happy. It happens because a lot of the times people don't know what they're called to be. And
can I ask a personal question? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have found who you are or who you want to
be? So I will tell you the experiences. So, and I'll bring church into this, because growing up, I ran away from church once I was in my teenage years, because a lot of the lessons and preaching, I felt like I'm already damned, right? I'm soiled. There's no way I can come out. And I can't be a good person, surely. So I ran away from church. But the thing that came back was God to me. Because I remember in 2020, my family, thank God, we decided to do a lot of prayers together and just talk. And my dad introduced me to someone who literally told me that the only identity I can claim is the one God has given me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he even told me that, but it stuck with me. And there was a reason God told him to tell, because a lot of the times people will tell me, oh, Vanessa, you're going to be so successful, you're so accomplished, you're so this, you're so responsible. And I didn't believe it, because I'm like, how? You don't even know half the things I'm thinking of going through. You're actually just putting pressure on myself. But the minute you told me that my identity is my own and God has given me an identity, what is your identity? Who are you? I remember someone asking me, find out who you are. What makes you happy? What makes you smile? What makes you want to get out of bed and continue?
What was the process of that? So what did you see? What did you, like, what,
I experienced,
where did
this lead I experienced you? God. And I don't know how else to say it, but I was forced to isolate myself, and COVID was probably that reason. I was forced to, before that, I hated being alone. My way of not dealing with my issues was constantly being out. Yeah. I would club every night, find a way to, I'll be texting someone because I didn't like just being alone. Cool. I remember the start of COVID, I had maybe like 6 different guys on my phone just texting because I was bored and I didn't want to sit life alone. The moment I cut everything out, I remember I didn't talk to anyone for quite a while. I sat down by myself and I decided to think about what actually makes me happy, because these things are not making me happy, clearly. So what would actually make me happy? And I had to go through finding out what I like. That's when I rediscovered my love for food. Because
That's what catalyzed.
Literally. Are you serious? Because I was like, you know what? I think I enjoy cooking. I started cooking breakfast, lunch, dinner for my family, 3 courses. Like, I fell in love with food. And funny enough, growing up as a teenager, I had an eating disorder, because clearly, I wanted to find something to control, and it was food I decided to control and say, you know what, I'm going to be eating only one peanut and this and that. So I think a majority of the things, what I'm trying to say, if I put it into one sentence, is a lot of people are having identity issues because you're being told something of who you are, to, like, who are you supposed to be as a person in this life?
Yeah.
And unless you know who you are and who God has claimed, like, called you to be, I think you may not find peace.
How'd
you find me?
I feel like it's very difficult, because you've more or less said that you found it in God, your relationship with God.
Yeah, but
right?
It took a long time. That's why I say I can't pinpoint. It took so many different meetings for it to happen. It wasn't a spark moment. It was 22 years of my life of different things where I can look back and say, wow, so at this moment, this was God in the works. But
Can I hop in on that?
Yeah,
I feel like God works continuously throughout your life, but it's up to that person to actually discern, see, hear. And when you're awake to receive and find that identity, you will. I think something I even learned from talking to like therapists and whatnot is that a lot of the times we tend to forget. You see, the Bible is the first and biggest book to help you, your mental. We just don't read it in the way that gives us that access. But all that, this modern day psychology, whatnot, they're all referenced. It's all parallel in certain ways. And a lot of times, I remember I was talking to a therapist and the person kept saying, look back at what you've achieved. Look back at what you've done. It may seem like a small
thing to you.
I think that's a very
but
useful
it's,
lesson.
It's
heavy.
Like God, something that the Bible says, God will not give you what you can't handle, right? But we tend to forget that we can handle it. So I remember I so embarrassing, but when I was in A-levels, I was doing 4 subjects. So I did biology, I did psychology, I did history, and I did English. Mm. So I got A, B, and then a smiley face for one of my papers. So that day, I said, I finished my, I was rolling on the floor when I got, you know, those A-level results. I've ruined my life. I was crying. My mom was just looking at me, whatever. I worked hard, dropped that one. So I got A, B, C, U. So I dropped that one. I retook.
Standard. Gas dropped.
I retook certain subjects to get back to A, B. And I almost forgot that happened.
Yeah.
I was now in university now. And I was doing a course and I was just stressing myself. I'm going to fail my uni. I can't do it. I'm useless. I'm this. I'm that. Meanwhile, you're forgetting what God had done for you.
that God had brought you out of but that, I think that said those same things.
You asked a question, what made you understand or get through, right? And it links to exactly what you're saying. But humans, we like to achieve a sense of perfection. You have to be
this perfect person. Word. A sense of
and
perfection.
A lot of pressures with perfection are what causes anxiety attacks or causes people to get depressed because they feel like I'm not achieving where I'm supposed to be. For me, it was, I'm never going to be this person that God can call his own. I just didn't think so because I thought I was damned or whatever the case. But the moment you realize that God loves you where you are, it's not that God will love you when you get somewhere. It's, I'm meeting you where you are. I love you now. I love you for who you are. I don't call you Vanessa, the one that achieved 3 A stars or went to university, got a job, did this. No, he's calling you Vanessa, my daughter. And you are a light upon this world that cannot be dimmed. Like, the moment I realized what that unconditional love is, that took so many... That allowed me to break off a lot of chains. Yeah, it freed me up. And then I was able to then decide for myself, okay, God loves me as... What does he love about me? What do I love about me? What's going to bring me joy and bring God joy at the same time? Yeah, but you had to break through that. And I think a lot of people have to go through stripping away the pressures we put on it.
Yeah, I think something my dad told me, this honestly just freed me a lot. I think a lot of times, like you said, something called anticipatory anxiety. So you big up situations more than it should be. And I remember I used to do that quite a lot. And my dad, when I was going through my whole mental health, wahala and whatnot, my dad sat me down, son, there's so many things that you don't, what, I don't even care. I love you just because you were born. That is enough. I was like, what do you mean? So I don't have to achieve. No, I would love you no matter what.
No matter if who you are.
If your heaven, your earthly father.
Every father could talk to you like that.
And then what the Bible also says, Jesus has the 100 of sheep. The 99 are okay, but the one runs away. Why would you stress so much for that one sheep that has freed you, left where it is?
But yeah, it's very freeing. And I think it's cringe to say, but that unconditional love is freeing.
Crazy.
It frees you up so much because you put so much unnecessary ties and bonds to things that in the grand scheme of things, God has called you already. He loves you.
So I have a question as well. I think, as Christians, it's almost sometimes taboo to talk about mental health. So a lot of times people will be like, you have a spirit. Let's go. They want to exercise you. They want to
pray it out.
Pray out the demons and whatnot. So it almost feels taboo to speak about it. Yeah, because people don't know that. Mental health is not just for the people that to be sectioned.
Everybody.
It's funny. I remember when.
But what's the relationship with the church and mental health? Do you guys have?
It's so funny to say. There's one moment I remember when I went through really bad anxiety, and it was actually the moment I experienced an interaction with God.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, I've gotten there. I've had an experience with God. I've had an encounter. Oh, everything's going so well. I'm prophesying this and that. Suddenly, it became dark.
Wow.
And I remember saying to my dad, but how, I'm not supposed to be experiencing this. Like, but he was like, but you're a human being. Yeah.
It's normal. It's happened.
The church, just because you're part of a relationship with God or in church doesn't mean you're not going to go through it. And
yeah.
I think that's, exactly, it's not just about praying it out or exercising. Someone that's going through mental health doesn't mean that they don't have a relationship with God either.
Yes.
And I think that's important to say, because sometimes people may say, oh, maybe you're not in the spirit.
Maybe God's mad at me.
I was in the spirit more than I've ever been in my life. I did all the fastings. I was really praying every day. I was hearing God loud and clear. Yes, I went through it.
So how does the church uplift people with mental health issues? Like, how can the church be part of that conversation?
From what I understand from you, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about every priest ordained by God is taken from among men to offer both gifts and sacrifices. One of the things the Bible talks about there was, who can have compassion on the ignorant and them that are out of the way, because he himself is also encompassed with sin.
Mm.
So, coming to your question, and also speaking from the point of as a pastor, we create this wrong impression when we make our members or leaders feel that we don't have struggles, like
mm-hmm.
we have everything sorted out. When you create that kind of personality or impression with people, you cut the process for development.
Exactly.
Because they won't know how you got to where you are. Mm-hmm. Ah, we got mm-hmm. made it. Ah, amen.
We're not real.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the prayer meetings we had, we were talking about addictions. You could see people talking because someone shared their struggles. You see, Jesus is able to be our Lord and Savior, not because he just sat in heaven.
Yeah.
He came to the earth, took on humanity, died for us, and went to heaven and showed us an example. So when we tell our people, this is what we do, this is what happened to us at some point in our lives, we also tell people how to listen to others. Say, don't think people don't go through stuff. You mentioned about somebody coming to ask, tell a pastor about their problems. People think pastors don't have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you bring it to tell the pastor, maybe that day that pastor hasn't been eating. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had a quarrel with his wife. Maybe he has the landlord has asked him to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to bring out our humanity to make people understand that, look, this is how it is. Everybody you see has something they're battling with.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes to talk to you, it's a privilege really to get somebody to say, Vanessa, see what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could say, oh, wow. And you can empathize because what you lack when you don't tell me what you've gone through, you lack empathy.
Yeah. And then that's exactly what I meant because it's about who you, it's the people in that are put in positions of influence, pastors, leaders, they are going to be the ones to create a structure of communication or experience for the congregation. And I also think it's important that we put different people who have had different experiences or different professions in the church. Because one thing that I see the problem is people see church as something to go to on Sunday and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see how church can be a lifestyle from Monday through to Sunday. And, you know, you can have leaders who are specialists in psychiatry, mental health. You can have leaders who are doctors. You can have leaders who are scientists. You can have leaders who are teachers. I think when you have a church that is able to, you know, get itself into all the different angles that we deal with in life, you're then going to have a community that's able to access the things that they deal with in daily life, not just, okay, I need someone to help me with Bible study, or I need someone to just help me, okay, when I'm having problems, to pray. But no, I have someone in the church that I can go to when it comes to my life or my finances, my work, my mental health. It's so important to show that
church is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah. And Christ has involvement in everything. And nothing is too shameful or dark for the church to communicate about, you know?
I agree. I actually think I think we hit a home run on that. Just firstly, that the fact that we can appreciate and acknowledge that everybody goes through
stuff.
Whoever you are,
everybody goes through stuff.
Dangote is probably going through something, and it's important that within the church, that our pastors, our leadership, can open people, can accept people with open arms. Because you find a lot of the times that, what was that thing? Who remembers the American quote? Give me your tired, give me your hungry, give me whatever. So when people were emigrating to America, a lot of times church doesn't feel like that. So when I heard that American slogan, give me or whatever, I almost think, oh, is this a church phrase or something? But sometimes you feel so judged in church.
People need to feel safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's the word. Safety. You need to feel safe coming in that space.
Church should be a safe
space. It should be a safe space, really. That's what it is.
And then we'll fix it.
You know,
exactly.
And we'll build you.
I understand why some churches are saying Sunday's best, but sometimes you have to have that open, just come as you are. We're not going to judge. We're not going to look at you side-eyed. You can sit anywhere. If you want to sit second row.
Different people come to the church. See, the idea, when you're coming to church on Sunday, it depends on the idea you have. Nobody is perfect. The Bible says the church is for perfecting the saints.
It's for what?
Perfecting the saints. It's to perfect the saints. That is gift of the church, of gift of ministry. So when you're coming to church, no matter who you are, you should be able to know that, look, yeah, I'm a drug addict, for example. I lie, for example. I have this problem. But I'm coming to meet with God. There's nothing you can hide from God, really. And the best place you can have solutions to problems with mental health is in the church.
Yeah.
I have a question. Did God, I mean, we all mentioned different mental health issues that we had. I think you spoke quite well on yours. But did God, when you were going through the problem of no job, etc., you, did God play a part in that healing, that revelation, that entry into a new job, or was it just you got over your mental health?
God did, because I remember 2 days ago was my birthday. So 2 years ago was my first job in Lagos. During that time, it was really, really troubled. Yeah. So like I've already stated that clearly. But I know on my birthday, I had 300 naira in my pocket. I've said that. You know. But I wanted to just sleep that day because I didn't have money. But God said, the Spirit of God told me to go somewhere, which I did. And then I went there and I was making a phone call. And then I saw a man and told me, go and talk to this man. And I went to meet the man. And the man said, wow, he's been looking for someone like me for the past 2 weeks. There was no calculation of mathematics or index or any kind of application that I've done. The man gave me a job, not only gave me the job that period, also gave me a house.
Yeah.
That was how my career in real estate began. I'm not trying to advertise myself just in case. But that was how my career in real estate began. I've left that man right now. I've moved to a bigger firm. So I could look back and say, oh, God started me from this point A, point B, point C. And I am where I am, and I still believe that the future is bright.
Yeah.
So God is a major factor to helping me come out of that mind stress I had during that period. I would say it was really, because I had to listen to him every step of the way to where I am right now. So,
interesting.
I think we've really done an amazing job here, just being honest and speaking through our own personal experiences. I think now what would be good is just for us to give everyone, I just want you to give a little bit of, let's say, words of advice or a closing phrase that you can give to those listening. What would you say to those who are listening and, you know, going through something and just want to hear from you?
I think mine might be a little bit more broad. I'll speak from my own history and perspective. I think I'd suffered from some serious heavy anxiety to the point that I couldn't really be social. So if I'm coming from giving a lot of talks, speeches, going to different things, and to hold a mic, doing this podcast was tough for me.
Mm.
But you're natural now, come on.
Yes.
But sometimes it's the thing that you're natural at.
That scares you. Yeah. So because it's almost very performative, so I almost would be in my head. I would think that people are thinking or looking at me a certain way, or I'm expected to be a certain way. Because all my life, how I've thought is that I'm Tony Rappo's son, so I'm expected to be like this. I'm expected to talk like this. I'm expected to look like this, do this certain thing, and achieve humongous fame, money, etc. So I painted my life based on what I believe other people had.
Yeah.
And then throughout that process, when I wasn't on that path, because life is crazy, man. One moment you're up, and then the next thing you're out of the playground. Yeah. You're out of your bubble. You're in real life. And then real life starts to catch up with you. Mm. And then your mind plays tricks on you. So your mind tells you, you're not worth it. You're not good. You haven't done anything amazing. You're second best. You'll never be like your father. You'll never be. So you almost get attacked by your mind.
Your mind is powerful.
And it's a prison. It's a serious prison. The question I always ask myself is, what am I meditating on?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you meditate on bad things,
it's true.
It affects your mind.
Yeah.
But if you meditate on good things, like you meditate on Christ, you just meditate on anything that's good, especially God, then you have that peace. The Bible always empowers people to get up and go. So that's active. So be active. So that's how my mind works. So the Bible, for instance, Gideon, that's why I've changed my name to Gideon. God went to Gideon when Gideon was the lowest point in his life. And God said one thing. Gideon, mighty man of valor. So I always say Tobe / Gideon, mighty man of valor, get up. And Gideon said, God, I can't do anything. I can't do it. God now said the greatest possible thing ever. Go with the strength you have. So you don't need to have all the power in the world. Mm-hmm. That small ounce of strength
it's enough. Mm. Just shows you that you have the
capacity.
He will
do the rest.
Yeah. God will do the rest. Go, rise, go and do something.
Thank you, Toby. Yeah. I think people are going to really resonate with that.
Yeah.
We'll just go around, I think. Okay. I like how you said to keep your mind on the good things. And I want to talk for those people who may say, but I can't, or it's too hard for me right now. I also want to say that sometimes it is okay to allow yourself be where you are. It's normal. I'll just quote Psalm 23, verse 4. Everyone knows this verse, but it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is always going to meet you where you are. And you don't have to think that you're too impure, you're too bad, you're too dark for him to meet you where you are. You're not clean enough. You have to get yourself out. He will meet you where you are, and he will love you where you are, and he will take you and give you the light that you need to get through. And that will just be what I want to say to you. I that's how I felt for the longest time. And sometimes I felt like, why can't you just allow me be sad? Why can't you just allow me grief? Why can't you just have, you know, sometimes you don't want to hear, just think positive things, just think. But sometimes you have to go through that stage of the dark valley, the valley, simple as, and God will meet you there, and he'll hold your hand and walk you through, and simple as, it's a stage that you'll get through.
Yeah, I think for me, I'll just latch on to a few of the things that you guys have said, in the sense that remember who you are in Christ, and just remember who you are as a person, because I feel like that's what has always worked for me when I'm in a rut, when I'm like really low, when something is happening to me in work, in my relationships. I always try and just take a step back from that situation and look at the bigger picture of my life and say, okay, where am I going? And, you know, what is really my purpose? I try and look back at the Bible, maybe characters that I feel like I resonate with deeply. I go back and look at, you know, I read, I watch a lot of people speak. And I feel like that always helps me. I always try and reshuffle or rejig my perspective and change my perspective to look at the wider picture. Because it's very easy to just stay narrow and stay focused on the very, very tiny details. And it's in those tiny moments where your mind just completely overtakes whatever you've been going through. But if you look at the big picture and you stretch out your life over the years and say, okay, this is where I'm going, and you always remember the destination, you always remember where you're driving to, I feel like it's always helped me, always remembering where I'm driving to, as opposed to getting in one small accident. Imagine if you're driving to the airport and you're catching a flight, and somebody, one Okada man, hits your car, and you get there and you start fighting, you miss your flight now. Do you understand? So always remember, okay, sort that out, get in your car and keep pushing. You shake it off. Let's say you're angry, you play one song, you get happy again, and try and make sure you get that flight and get on that plane and leave. You know,
who you are is not attached to where you are at that point. Yeah,
it's bigger than that. It's always a big picture. Yeah.
Okay, for me, I'll summarize my own point to TEAL, acronyms. T for thoughts. E for emotions. A for actions. L for life. Let me explain. Our thoughts, what you dwell upon, will create for you an emotion. When you dwell on that emotion for long, it will create an action for you. When you keep practicing or doing that action, it will create for you life. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 8, that I quote from King James, he said, or let me rephrase it. Anything,
James or nothing.
No. Whatsoever thing that is true. True. So what is true? Whatsoever thing that is honest. What is honest? Whatsoever thing that is of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Mm. So no matter what happens around you, always know that the point of gravity for our lives as Christians is in the Word of God and in the presence of God.
So no matter what you see, you hear, going through, like use myself, for example, I tell you, if I'm having, if I'm being, fidgeting, I try to bring myself to my point of gravity. Where is that? The presence of God and His Word. When you have that, I tell you, you can have balance in every area of your life. So that's what I would just say.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. First podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who is listening. I hope that from our perspective and our conversation, our experiences, that even if one of you can resonate and just feel something and feel elevated and edified, to feel encouraged and to know that we are with you, that's what matters. And, you know, reach out to us at Holy Hill, come to church, and we will be here with open arms.
Yeah.
And Christ is our lifestyle, so that means from the good, the bad, the difficult, the easy, we are through every single process and experience with you, and that's why we're Holy Hill. Thank you for listening.
Abby, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.